Bring my technology with me. Y'all like technology? I kind of don't. I'm still kind of old school, though you may think you're born in the... Well, I was born in the 90s, so I did make it into the 20th century? Is that right? 1990? Yeah, I wasn't born in the 21st century, so... Shoo, I barely made it. I can still remember having to memorize telephone numbers, answering machines. I didn't carry my phone with me. That was kind of a thing that you didn't do. My granddad had one of those box phones in the floor of his pickup truck, or bag phones. I thought that was the coolest thing. You mean you can call people from your truck? I was like, that's great. So I'm still kind of there. I mean, my neighbors had the, was it dial-up? You couldn't call anybody if you're on the internet. And now you can be on the phone talking to somebody and be on the internet looking up stuff all at the same time. We're very multitasking people, or maybe we think we are. I think it's probably more we think we are, because I know when I'm trying to multitask, I'm putting somebody out, and usually it's my wife, and it's not so good. She's like talking to me, and it's like, sometimes I get lucky and I can repeat what she said, but most of the time, it doesn't happen, not at all. Well, I hope to keep you all awake, we're going to talk about names. I love names. That's why I brought this. What shall we name the baby? And you're like, oh no. Right, baby's coming in January. Well, don't worry. We already have the names picked out, so I'm not looking through this to find names. I brought them for your benefit, because I was looking at, like, Ken. Kenneth, you know what Kenneth means? Comely. Very handsome individual. Mr. Heisey back there. He's a very comely fella. Oh, yeah, it just made me laugh. Or Russell. Red. And he's got red. I mean, it's just amazing. Names, they're significant. And I think it's great. Melissa. Pastor's wife, you know what that means? Bumblebee. At least according to this book. And I really thought it was funny this morning. So, yeah. Melissa kind of comes from Greek mythology, the one that showed man how to use honey. So she showed man how to use honey. And Sean means a gift from God. So Shalissa, the gift from God to show men how to use honey. Or the honeybee from God, you know. I was just having fun looking up these names and so on and so forth. But names are significant, wouldn't you agree? Each of you has a name in here, at least I think so. You don't have to, well, I guess it's usually X means you don't know how to sign your name. It's not like, I don't even know my name. But somebody's calling you something, whether it's your name, a nickname. You're getting called something by someone. Maybe you're called something that you don't know you're called. Maybe it's because of your lifestyle. Maybe it's because of a personality or a characteristic that you have. And so we're going to look at names, because ever since I was a teenager, I came across the baby book, and I loved looking at names, where they came from, so on and so forth. Just amazing names. Like Fitz. Did you know Fitz, like Fitzgerald? Fitz is the son of Gerald. So if you're a Fitzgerald, somewhere in your history, there was a Gerald, and the son of Gerald was Fitzgerald. And in the Nordic countries, it could get really long. So, you know, Eric the Red, and then Leif Erikson, son of Eric, and then you go on, it's like, well, which son of is, it? Now like Grimes, well, there's many Grimeses now, we don't do son of anymore, because I'd be Todson, okay, then my son would be Treverson, and then so on and so forth, and I'm glad that there's kind of some consistency now, and we kind of can trace it back a little bit, because if you follow the Nordic, you might get a little lost, because everybody's the son of somebody, and everybody has a different name, usually. Am I confused yet? Sometimes names are that way. Okay, well, names, the significance of names. Names have meaning. Who knows the meaning of their name in here? Anybody? Okay, Monte, what's your name meaning? Okay, mountain that is cut up. Andrew back there.
Manly.
A what?
Manly.
Manly. Andrew means manly. Well, He fits his name, does he not? He's a man, manly. Do you know your meaning, Roger?
Famous spearman.
Famous spearman. So, maybe we should have had him be the Roman soldier with the spear. Okay, anybody else? Okay, there you go. Anybody else? Getting the crowd involved here. They don't want to fall asleep. Is there... Yes?
Beloved.
Is there another meaning for Melissa besides the one that's in this book?
Sweet spirit.
Sweet spirit. That's a little better, don't you think, than bumblebee? the meaning of names, depending on which baby book you get, they kind of vary, so... Find the baby book that's best for you. Okay, anyone else?
I often got called a net in high school because Nancy is the American name for the French for a net.
Okay.
So when a net came to join us, I bonded with her right away.
All right. Yeah. Derivatives from different countries. It's fascinating. Anybody else? Marv. Okay. Okay, interesting. See, people get names because of a characteristic, a place they're at, or something like that. It's interesting. Spark. Okay. Yes. Consecrated to God. Okay, that's good.
Remembered by God.
I think those are great names. Don't you like having a name that actually has a meaning like that? Like Trevor? Means prudence, at least according to this thing, prudence. Now, do I fit prudence? I hope so. Now, we're going to talk about that a little bit. Do you fit your name? Ask yourself that question. Do you hold up to your name's meaning? Maybe some of us have a name meaning that, well, you don't really want to hold up to it. Well, please don't. But in a lot of countries over in like Africa, they have their name over there, which could be whatever. Then they give themselves a Christian name. Or in Muslim countries, they give themselves a Christian name, not Muhammad. It becomes Peter or Paul or Daniel, I'm assuming. You went to Jordan, right? Do they do that over there? Give themselves a Christian name? A little bit. But then again, they have similar Bible names in some ways, I figure. But some places don't, so they give themselves a name. And I just find names so fascinating. They speak volumes. Have you ever met somebody who fits their name? Yeah, I have. Have you met people who don't really fit their name? Yeah? Like Matilda. What do you think of when you think of Matilda? That is like, it's a Norse woman. You know, like, oh, she's going to come get you. You're not going to name your daughter Matilda. I wouldn't think. So you try to be sensitive, or Gertrude, or, you know, it's just like, some of these names, they have meaning attached to them that maybe... We just like, I don't want to name her Gertrude or Roberta. I would never name my daughter Roberta. Just like, oh. It's like, I struggled with Robert for the longest time, and then naming my daughter Roberta, she'd be like, why of all names did you do that? Sounds like a guy's name. I know. I just didn't have a son, so I named you Roberta. Oh, some people, you know. Like Stevie Sue. Your name is significant, right? Your dad named you Stevie Sue. I think that's great. It's not a bad thing. It's not. It's really not. So there's significance to names, right? Esau, he had a significant name. Jacob, his name was significant because of circumstances. So think about name. Do you fit your name? So forth. So I have some things here. Names have a purpose. Hosea. Didn't Hosea have some children? And didn't his children have some names that were pretty significant? Let's turn to Hosea chapter 1. I want us to look here. Hosea chapter 1. Keep you all awake. Increasing your name dictionary. Because the Bible has a lot to say about names. When Pastor was, as you're turning, was preaching about the apostles or the disciples and their names, it's pretty fascinating. Some of the names that these guys had. the apostles. So Hosea chapter 1. Let's start reading in verse 9. We're going to get some background here. Hosea is a prophet to Israel. The word of the Lord came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah king, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and the children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So God's people have departed from the Lord. They're not doing what is right. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Judah, and will cause to cease the kingdoms of the house of Israel. So Jezreel, this boy, is growing up, and he's walking around, and his name is Jezreel. And as a symbol of God's judgment upon the house of Jezreel and the house of Judah. God's going to avenge y'all. Jezreel, God's going to avenge you, and I am that. That's what my name is for, is a testament against you. Can you imagine growing up that way? You're the son. That's you. Judgment is coming. Okay, continuing on here. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, call her name Loruhamah. Significant name here. For I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. That's what your name means. Significant. You are, again, a testament. You're walking around. You're growing up. And your name is Loruhamah. No more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. Judgment is coming. And that's what you symbolize. Continuing on. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah. And will save them by the Lord, their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battles, by horses, nor by horsemen. Now when she had weaned Loruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then God said, call his name Loami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Oh, so painful. But God is speaking unto these people because of their rebellion, and he's using the name given to children of a prophet for that. Imagine that being your calling in life. To bear a name like that. Nowadays, people change their names, do they not, if they don't like them? Well, I don't think you could necessarily change your name back in those days. It's just kind of what you had. People might have called you a nickname, but God gave them this name, and it was significant for a purpose. So names were given, at least these guys, children's names were given, because they were symbols of judgment. How about promise? Names of promise. I think this name probably has the most significance to all of us in here. Why don't we turn to Isaiah chapter 7? Isaiah chapter 7. The name of this particular person has great significance for all of us in here. And we ought to. We reverence this name. We lift it up. We pray in this name. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And we know in Matthew, what's that mean? God with us. That is a great name. Emmanuel, God with us. Great significance, don't you think? The promised son is going to come, and he's going to dwell with us. That's his name. What he's called by. Emmanuel. Amazing. Amazing. That's Jesus for you. Isaiah chapter 9, a few pages over. 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's God for you. That's who he is. Those are his names, his characteristics that describe him. He's called by those things. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Are you able to have names like that? Do people see you as a wonderful person, a Counselor? Obviously, you're not the Mighty God or the Everlasting Father or the Prince of Peace. But do you have an air about you that is wonderful, is dependable? Jesus did, and we can be thankful for that. That's his name. Significant. He wasn't just called. God up in heaven didn't just, oh, wonderful, that's a great name to call my son. No, there's parents like that. Oh, every nurse in the hospital, write a name on the board and we'll hopefully find one of those names. That's not how God, his names were specific and for a purpose. Names today, sometimes they're given for a reason, sometimes they're not. Just kind of hickledy-pickledy pick a name. Hopefully it fits and rhymes and has rhythm and everything else that people look for in names. But these names, for God, they're significant. And we reverence these names. Every Christmas, this is the passage we go to. But really, we should go to it all the time because that's God. That's his name. Okay, Matthew chapter 1. We're going to the New Testament just for a little bit. Matthew chapter 1. It's a name. The significance of names. 21 through 25. Let's get some background to this here. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Jesus! He shall save their people from their sins. Isn't that a significant name? It is. He is the Savior. The one who saved you from your sins. Amazing. What a name. What a name with a great meaning given to our God, Jesus. And then to be fulfilled, as the prophet said, Emmanuel, God with us, the virgin conceived and brought forth a son. And he walked among men perfectly, without guile being found in his mouth. It's amazing. That's our God. Okay. So, the Son of Promise, God with us, Emmanuel, Jesus, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting. And then you go through the New Testament, there's so many names. Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, so many names. And they all have particular meanings, desire. Let's go to Genesis chapter 29. This woman, she was the wife of a man, Leah, was the wife of Jacob, and she had desire. You know, she loved her husband. She really did. She really loved her husband. Now, maybe there was selfishness involved in some of that. She was the first wife of Jacob. But she named a couple of her children very specifically. Actually, all of them had specific reasons why they were named. I just picked a couple because we could spend hours looking at names and meanings and the significance in the scriptures of all of that. But Genesis chapter 29 and verse 32. This is Rachel. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, Surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. Oh, can you imagine being a wife and knowing that your husband doesn't really love you? And so you name your son, the first son of Jacob, the husband you love, the one you desire to be with, Reuben. For she said, The Lord hath looked upon my affliction. The Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now my husband love me. Oh, I can't imagine. Well, I'm a guy, so obviously I can't imagine. But she had desire, so she named her son a specific name. The Lord hath looked upon her. She wanted her husband to dwell with her. Then let's go to Genesis chapter 30, verse 20. Look at this. Significance of a name. And Leah said, God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me because I have borne him 6 sons. And she called his name Zebulun. The last son from Leah to Jacob. Now the good dowry. So Zebulun, a good dowry from God. Now will my husband dwell with me. Her desire was to be with her husband. But Jacob, he loved Rachel. He was all about himself. So she had desire. So her reason for naming her children was for different reason than the naming of other people's children. Okay, how about this? Remembrance. I love this one. 1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4. I'm going to get to some application here, but I wanted to look at names. 1 Samuel chapter 4. Oh. Verse 21. Let's look at this. And she called the named child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because her father-in-law and her husband, they died." And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." So Eli and his boys, they were a mess as far as priests are concerned. They were doing everything wrong. Then they thought the Ark of the Covenant was some good luck charm, and so they took it out to battle, and the Philistines took it, and everything went downhill from there. So she went into labor, and she birthed this son, and she called him Ichabod. The glory hath departed from Israel. Can you imagine being Ichabod growing up, knowing that your grandfather and your father, the priest, have died, and the Ark of God is now in the hands of the Philistines? And you are like the eyesore to everybody, knowing that the Ark of God has gone. Ichabod. The glory hath departed. Ichabod. Oh, the reminder of it all. Can you imagine? Ichabod. So the significance of his name is kind of a sad one. The Ark of God is gone, and priests have died. So Ichabod. What is your name? Just ask yourself that. What is my name? What do people see me as, or what is associated with me? And then let's go to Genesis 35. Genesis 35. The last son of Jacob is being born here. Verse 18. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benani, but his father called his name Benjamin. Benani means son of my sorrow. So Rachel's here dying, and her son is born, and with her last breath she says, Benani, son of my sorrow. And then Jacob, the son of my right hand. Significant. One sees it as the son of sorrow, and he sees son of my right hand, comfort, strong, the last son of the woman he loved, Benjamin. And then Noah. His dad says, now he shall be the one who gives us rest. In Genesis chapter 5, he had vision for his son, Noah. And what did Noah do? He built an ark to save mankind, and only 8 people got on the ark. It's kind of a sad story. But Noah, his name means rest. Rest. Okay, so there are some names in the Bible. We could go on and on and on and on looking at names. But your name. I'm going to use me as an example. Robert Trevor Grimes. Robert is a name that's been passed down from grandfather to son, grandfather to son. So my dad is Robert Todd. My grandfather is Charles Robert. His dad was Robert Bryan. And his dad was William Bryan. So it kind of went from there. And then on my dad's mom's side, it was Richard Harry Joyce, then Robert Harry Joyce, then Robert Harry Joyce Jr., and then so on and so forth. So lots of Roberts in my side. Trevor, I don't know where they got that name. It's just Trevor. Trevor was my given name, and they chose to call me Trevor instead of Robert. Grimes, well, it was passed down from generation to generation to generation of Grimes, all the way back to when we crossed over the ocean and became immigrants on this country, and then now we're established as citizens and so on and so forth. So Grimes, here I am. My grandfather said it kind of, I don't know, I've tried to find it. He said it means keeper of the border. So maybe we were some kind of spearmen or army people that watched the border of a country. Who knows? Looking at current past of my lineage, we were outlaws and bad people and needed Jesus. That's pretty much who the Grimeses were. And so thinking of that, out in eastern Kansas, where I grew up and where we kind of started our spiritual journey, when then God moved us out to western Kansas, my dad, he lived a very worldly lifestyle. So did my mom, and so did my brother and I. We were just kind of heathens, let's put it plainly. We were heathens. And I was known as Todd's boy or Todd's son. No one ever, because my dad had a reputation. My dad was known in that country. So any of my dad's friends or my dad's friends' friends is like, oh yeah, that's Todd's boy. Everybody knew Todd. They may not have known me, but they knew him. So if you say Todd's boy, then you know who we're talking about. So I was kind of, you could say, identified with my dad, Todd's son. It's kind of how it works, right? You bring with you your family, whether or not you like it. It's who you are. Wrestle with it. But you know what? My family were drunkards. They were rascals, debauched people. But faith in Jesus Christ changed the Grimes name into something good. We're no longer the debauched rascals that we were. We are now people that love the Lord. Oh, that's Todd's boy. Yeah, he went to school. He's now serving in a church somewhere. Oh, Todd Grimes? Oh yeah, he's the guy in Kansas that's helping to start a church. That's the Todd Grimes of today. That's not the Todd Grimes of, let's see, 2018 years ago. He's a different man. Why? Because you could say God changed his name. Significant. It's different. What's your name mean? Are you one thing at home, but you're different at the workplace? Are you one thing at church and different at home? How do your kids know you by? How does your family know you by, or your coworkers? What is your name? Your name could be Dwayne at church, but what's it at work? It could be David at home, but what's it at work? Oh, he's the profane man. Or he's the liar. He's the thief. Or he's the perverse man. He's the womanizer. Or how about it? What's your name? The gossip? What are you known as? How do people know you? Because it doesn't matter what your name is. What do people know you as? Because that's what you carry with you. My name's Trevor. But if my life isn't right or pleasing to the Lord, people know me as something other than Trevor. They may call me Trevor, but when they hear Trevor, oh yeah, that guy. What's your name? Tell me. Do you know your name? What do people think of you? That's important, because you're supposed to be a light unto the world. And if your name is tainted, are you really being the light unto the world? So, Robert Trevor Grimes. I gave you a little bit of my name. How about some other names, nicknames? They're given to us for a specific reason. Marv told us he was called Spark. That's a nickname, is it not? How many of you got a nickname? Okay, what's your nickname? Okay, there you go, Kicking Bird. Skip, why are you called Skip? Okay, there you go. He's born on his dad's birthday. Eliminate confusion. Skip. Okay, your nickname. Yeah. Thing One. Because you're the first son. And you're a twin. Okay, Thing One. I was called Number One from my dad. Anybody else? Who's got a nickname? Many nicknames. I know you got many nicknames. My brother's got many nicknames. Anybody else? Nickname that's kind of stuck around. I never had a nickname other than like Meathead or Squirrel Bait or, you know, anything like that. Just kind of a fun thing that never really stuck around. My brother is the man with many nicknames. Guggenheim, Guggenslobben, Squirrel Bait, Shark Bait, Fish Bait, Meathead, Pork Chop. That's my brother. He deserved all of them, I'm sure. So, nicknames. They have significance, whether or not you like it or not. Nicknames. Christian. That was kind of born in the first century as Christianity was on the move. Christian. Christ follower. Oh, the heathens. Those are the people that follow that man Christ. That's what Christian, how it started out. You're a Christian, right? Yeah. Why? Because he follows Christ. That's where it came from. Derogatory, maybe not. It was just identity, because the other people in the heathen countries, they weren't following Christ, were they? Diana, Apollo, you name all the gods. Christian is specific. And then it stuck. And we're called Christians, if we follow Christ, today. Significant, don't you agree? Because you're different if you're called a Christian than if you're called a Buddhist. Or even a Catholic. Now, Catholic's kind of considered in Christian, in the broad umbrella of Christian, but then we even get down to denominational, Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, non-denominational. I don't know what I am. I don't believe anything. I don't know. So, Christian, Methodist, my brother is called Bear. That's his nickname now. Why is he a bear? I like to explain it like this. He's like the cuddliest, funnest guy there is. But he's a bear. So if you cross him, that big bear paw, boom, it might be the end of you. He fits his name perfectly. He can be cuddly and soft, or he can be a bear. And I love my brother, but I do like to pick on him a little bit because he's the man of many names. Man of many names. Rebecca used to call me Cheesy. I was known as Cheesy to Rebecca. A nickname, okay? Maybe it's because of my happy personality, or I don't know why she called me Cheesy. Dumbo, okay. How many of you are... Oh, I've been called Dumbo before because my ears kind of stick out a little bit. So, and I had guys come up behind me and play with my ears, you know. Dumbo, okay, it's a nickname. Why would you call somebody Dumbo? Because they got big ears or a really long nose. But then you'd probably be called Pinocchio, okay? How about if somebody's called a witch? It's probably kind of negative, right? If you call somebody a witch or Jezebel, oh, call somebody a Jezebel, that's pretty bad. How about carrots or carrot top? Somebody with red hair on their head. Carrot. We had a guy, called him Carrot. Carrot top. Nick, I'm telling you, nicknames, they stick around. That's what you're called. Let's see. I don't know any nicknames. I've tried to think of many nicknames myself. So, nicknames. Names are important. They have significance. So I want you to remember that. When you leave here today, I want you to know your name's important. I want you to know what people call you is important. It may be fun, it may be nice, but this gets down to really the practical Christian living. What do people know you as? Because it could be they know me as Trevor, but really that's not what I'm known for. It's just being Trevor. I've chosen two men to represent for us a name change because of characteristics. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 32, if you're there. Genesis 32, Jacob. Jacob had a name change, and it was a significant name change because Jacob means supplanter or deceiver. Can you imagine? Right when you're born, you reach out and grab your brother's heel, and he's like, oh, he's a supplanter. He's going to uproot some things. So you're known as that from the very time you're born. And so Jacob had some milestones in his life. He was born. He's called Jacob. Okay. Then he makes some pottage. He manipulates his brother and gets his birthright. Then his mom conspires with him, he conspires with her, and he gets the blessing. These are milestones in Jacob's life. He's living up to his name, supplanter. He deceives his father and his brother, and then he gets the blessing. Then he runs away and goes and meets his match in his uncle Laban. So two supplanters, two deceivers are at it. So Jacob loves Rachel and he wants to marry her. And then Laban confuses him and he ends up marrying Leah. And there's a mess. And so he ends up working for him for 17 years and his wages get changed a whole lot. And then he ends up God comes to him and says, you need to go back to Bethel. And so then Jacob leaves and Laban's mad. So Jacob, he's got a whole lots of fear and problems in his life. And what goes around comes around is what's happening to Jacob. And then he's going back to Bethel and then he hears that, oh, Esau's coming. Ah, he's going to kill me because I stole his birthright. I stole his blessing. And it's just not so good. And then he wrestles with God in Genesis chapter 32. Start in verse 27. He's wrestling with God. And he says this. What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. He came face to face. I've had one of these moments. I'm wrestling with God. I'm running from God. And then I come to a roadblock. In this case, it was Esau. And you go through chapter 32, and he's just in turmoil, in frantic turmoil. And God asks him what his name is. And can you imagine? I don't know the amount of time that lapsed between the question and the answer, but I know for me, it was sitting there. What God, it's like God spoke to me, what is your name? And I sat there and thought, well, I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other thing, I'm a liar, I'm a cheat, I'm a manipulator. That's who I am. And he says, Jacob, I'm the supplanter, I'm the deceiver, I'm the one who caused all this problem in my life. I know, that's just kind of what I envisioned. He came face to face with God. He had a choice to make. And God says in verse 28, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. What a name change. Israel, God prevails. Go from supplanter, deceiver, to God prevails with God and men. I'm telling you, that is significant. Can you imagine coming face to face with God? And he says, that's your name now. You're no longer this, but that. I tell you what, it's freeing. Can you imagine? It's kind of probably like a burden was lifted off of him. Whew. He still cares. I'm no longer this, I'm that. How about you? What's your name? Are you like Jacob? And you need to have a moment with God where you're confronted with who you are? Because I guarantee you, if Jacob wouldn't have probably been honest with himself, I don't think his name would have changed. I really don't. Because can you imagine? Just like, oh, I'm really not this person. I'm really not a liar. I'm not a thief. It's kind of like salvation. You have to admit you're a bad person, right? A sinner, a liar, a cheat, a thief. If you don't come to the realization that you're a sinner, well, then you're not going to get it. He had to come face to face with himself, and he got it. How about you? Have you come face to face with who you are? And God says, Israel. No longer Jacob, but Israel. The name change. The name change. It's so fascinating. How does it happen? He admits. You got to be honest. As Christians here, you want to change your name. You want to change your reputation. You're going to have to be honest with who you are. With everybody else and yourself. You know what, coworker? I have been a liar, a cheat, a thief, and it's wrong. Would you forgive me? You know what? You're going to build reputation. Your name's going to change. It's going to have an impact. It's going to happen. But you got to be honest with yourself and with God. You got to be faced with God. God prevails. Has God prevailed in your life? Have you had an Israel moment? A Jacob moment? Have you? Maybe you're sitting in here today and God's working in your life because you're just not who you're showing yourself to be. I believe this is the crux of the issue. What's your name? What is your name? What are you known as? So that's Jacob. He wrestled with God. and God changed his name. He prevailed. Okay, Acts chapter 4. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. One of my favorite people in Acts. Shouldn't be much longer here. Verse 36. And Joseph, here's start up at verse 32. This will be a little more context. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that ought of the things which he possessed with his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who was the apostle, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. So Joseph, if I would have asked you, who in the Bible was named Joseph, would any of you have guessed Barnabas? What they called him, the son of consolation? He had a reputation with the apostles as a son of consolation, one who brought comfort, one who brought rest. What is your reputation? He was, so that was what he was called. His name, Joseph, meant exalted. He already had a good name, but they called him Barnabas because of who he was, what he manifested as a characteristic. Joseph, son of consolation. And then you go later in the book of Acts, he goes to Tarsus to find who? Saul. What was Saul known as? A persecutor of the church. One who killed Christians. And people were afraid of him. He's like, he's a Christian now? I don't really know about that. I bring him into my place, he might... And it's the end of me. But Barnabas, the son of consolation, the one who brings comfort and rest, goes and gives him the right hand of fellowship, says, I believe that you have believed. And he brings them unto the apostles at Jerusalem and says, he is who he says he is. And then we have the apostle Paul. And he wrote most of the New Testament. Amazing. Amazing. He had a name change. I don't know how significant that is, but I don't know if you were, Saul was known as the church persecutor. I imagine you'd probably want a name change. You know? Oh, Saul, my name is Saul. Oh, we're leaving. So Paul, I don't know. Paul means little, so was he of little stature? I don't know. But his name was changed to Paul. So Paul, he had a name change. But we're talking about Barnabas. Barnabas was called Barnabas because of what he manifested. Could you be called Barnabas, a son of consolation? What are you known as? What do people see you as or think of you as? That's really what it comes down to. Because whether or not you like it, people judge your character. They watch you. I'm a very observing person. Probably, if you not think you're being watched, I'm watching you. It's just that's how it is. I like to watch people. I like to see, why is he doing that? And I'm, in my mind, all everything's working like this, and I'm making judgments and assessments, and I come up with, I think that person is probably an angry person, or a happy person, or a sad person, or a moody person. What are you known as? Are you known as being moody, or angry, or happy? Are you known as like the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs? Do you have all of those things going on in your life? I hope not. But they were known because didn't they have, if you've seen that or read that or whatever, they matched their name, did they not? They weren't named those things because they weren't not that. So, there you go. What do people know you as? Are you called Grumpy? Oh, he's Grumpy Gills, or he's an Eeyore. He's an Eeyore, or a Tigger. If you're a Tigger, aren't you a happy person? Oh, she's a rabbit. angry, cranky person. I'm telling you, names are important. What are you associated with? Significant. So your given name is significant because your parents gave it to you. Maybe it's because of a certain circumstance in the life. Maybe it's because you were named after a family member. But maybe your neighbors don't think of you as what your name is. Maybe your family doesn't. Maybe your coworkers don't. Maybe people in your own church don't. What is your name? Come face to face with who you are and what God thinks of you and yield, submit. You go to Revelation. I have that written down. In Revelation, it talks about a new name. The overcomer shall be given a new name. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. You're going to be given a new name, which only you know and God knows. You're going to have a new name. I don't know how that name's chosen. I really don't. Is it chosen by how I live my Christian life? Then I don't know. Is it going to be lazy when I get to heaven? I hope not. You know what I'm saying? Like, how does that name chosen? A new name? I would hope God would have a good name for me when I get to heaven. I'd hope. But maybe, I don't know how that name's chosen. It just says, there's a new name. The Overcomer. I guess you have to overcome and it's going to be a good name. Your name is significant. Don't leave here today not thinking your name is significant. Because it's who you are. You're more than your name lets on. So, and it comes down to your lifestyle, your characteristics. Who are you? Tell me. Tell me your name. Apply it to yourself. I'm sure you have names of people that you wouldn't want to name your kids because of certain character qualities in their lives. Like me, I'd never name a girl Tiffany. Because when I went to public school, I knew a girl, Tiffany. And every time I think of Tiffany, I think of this girl. And why would I want to think of that girl when I think of my daughter? It wouldn't work. So would people want to name you to their child? I think it's an honor if somebody wants to name their child after another person because they made such an impact in their life. Or are you that person? It's like, I'd never name my child that because that person is just wretched. Who are you? Tell me. What is your name? Have a Jacob moment, please. If you're not who you're supposed to be in the Lord, please. The world out there depends on us. Pastor preached it this morning. Living the life that we should be. Not being conformed to the world, but being renewed by our minds. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for this time in your word and looking at two men that had moments with you where they reckoned who they were and they trusted you. Father, I just ask that everyone here would consider who they are, what they're considered as, the lifestyles that they have, and whether the world around them knows of them in a good light or a bad light. Father, we just trust you for the victory. In Jesus' name, amen.